I'm Martine Halverson Taylor.
And I'm Curtis Schaefer.
And this is Sacred and Profane. If you're new to the show, this episode is part of our season, Between Heaven and Earth, which focuses on climate change and religions in the United States. And the big question that we're looking at is how religion has shaped the way Americans think about and live on the land, and how the land has shaped religion.
The land we're talking about today is in Buckingham County, Virginia, about an hour south of us here in Charlottesville. On previous episodes, we've explored the role religious institutions have played in two drivers of today's climate crisis, colonialism and America's powerful petroleum industry. But the story in Buckingham County is a little different. It's the story of faith leaders who teamed up to stop a pipeline.
To help us understand how religion factors into this unique collaboration, we've brought back Molly Bourne. She's a journalist from West Virginia who has covered the far-reaching impact of fossil fuel extraction in Appalachia. You've heard her on the show before when she helped us to understand how a Hare Krishna community in West Virginia arrived at the controversial decision to sell its mineral rights to gas companies. We'll let Molly take it from here.
When I came to Buckingham County, one of the first people I talked to was John W. Laurie. He's a farmer, and he took me for a bumpy ride in his truck around the low rolling hills of his farm in Union Hill. He raises cattle. He has plans for a garden, too, with tomatoes, squash, and corn.
Do you enjoy spending days out here?
Oh, yes.
What do you enjoy about it?
The quietness and being able to think. And you can enjoy Mother Nature. Hear the birds. See the squirrels and rabbits, birds.
Like a lot of Black families in Buckingham County, John has deep roots in the community. His family has farmed this land for generations. He showed me a small cemetery on his property, a cemetery old enough that it holds the remains of a woman born into slavery.
When you came in, you came by Union Grove Church. That building just above, after Union Grove Church, is Shelton's store. She's the mother of the man who owned that store. She was enslaved. How are you going to own another human being?
Besides farming, John is an Army veteran and a deacon at the Union Grove Missionary Baptist Church, just down the road.
My mother and daddy, they got married here. This is why the land is appealing to me, because they are married here. And I, growing up, we used to walk that road going down the highway. And we used to, on the low ground down there next to the creek, we used to steal berries out the field.
Like John's family, the church has deep roots in the county. It's a classic country church with white siding and a neat lawn. And there's a cemetery out back containing the remains of descendants of enslaved people. Less than 20 minutes from the church where John is deacon is the ashram known locally as Yogaville, the international headquarters of an organization founded by an Indian religious teacher in the late 1970s, dedicated to promoting interfaith understanding and world peace. The founder, Swami Sachidananda, is probably most famous to the rest of us for giving the invocation at Woodstock in 1969.
Beloved sisters and brothers, I am overwhelmed with joy to see the entire youth of America gathered here in the name of the fine art of beauty.
As you can imagine, the ashram and the people who came with it were a big change in a conservative county of under 20,000 people. The campus at Yogaville is big. It's over 600 acres and includes a yoga retreat, accommodations for both visitors and the devotees who live on site, and it's crowned by a neon-accented lotus. Not a literal flower, but an acronym, the Light of Truth Universal Shrine, which highlights the shared wisdom of major world religions and is a symbol of the Swami's teachings. Theologically, Yogaville and the Baptist congregations in Union Hill could not be any more different. Missionary Baptist is a term often used by Black churches, especially in the South, but like other Baptists, they believe that scriptures in the Bible are the Word of God. The Swami's teachings say God can be approached through any form or name, and it's up to the individual to choose the path best suited to them. How that happened has a lot to do with the efforts of Chad Oba, a gutsy, retired mental health counselor in her 70s. She describes herself as a friend of Yogaville, although she has a more formal title as well.
My title is president. Not a title I enjoy, actually. It's not the role as much as being called president of the Friends of Buckingham.
We met, along with her co-founder, Kenda Hanuman, in Hanuman's garden near Yogaville. It was peaceful, with its birdsong and flower beds of pink primrose, peonies, and irises.
There's a deer behind you, if you're interested. He's over here.
It's a mama.
Like a lot of rural places, Buckingham County has wildlife, but it's always had industry too. Most of the forested areas in the county are in private hands and used for commercial timber production. But in 2014, Chad heard about plans for something new, something big. Virginia's power company, Dominion Energy, announced the Atlantic Coast Pipeline, which would bring fracked methane gas from West Virginia to North Carolina. It would pass right through Buckingham County.
Somebody messaged me and said, "Hey, Chad, do you know anything about that compressor station and the pipeline?" And she used to live here in the Yogaville community, but she lived in Nelson County. I said, "How can I know more?" And she mentioned Ernie Reed, who was heading up Friends of Nelson at that point. I contacted him and said, "Hey, Ernie, I know they're going to get a song and dance, and we got to have some alternative information available." And so he said, "I'll send you some right away."
It wasn't just the pipeline. A compressor station was set to go up in Union Hill. These stations are built at spots along the pipeline to help maintain the pressure and flow of gas. And this was one of only three planned in the whole 600-mile pipeline, and the only one in Virginia. Compressor stations make a lot of noise, and they can also potentially release gas in harmful quantities. There's also a risk of fire and explosions. The name Dominion is fitting. The company owns power plants and pipelines in several states, as well as one of the country's biggest storage facilities for liquid methane gas. It supplies power to most Virginians and donates handsomely to political candidates on both sides of the aisle. Chad has been a vocal critic of Dominion before, in the 90s, when it went by Virginia Power. The company wanted to run a high-voltage electricity transmission line from Indiana to West Virginia. She said people were worried it wouldn't really do that much for them, but take or devalue their land. She spoke out against the plan at a meeting. And afterward, a group of Black men she didn't know approached her.
They said, "We want to accompany you to your car." And I didn't get it. I'm okay. And I was a lot younger and didn't have arthritis then.
You could run.
Yeah. And it took me a while to get that they were looking out for me. It was for my safety because I had spoken out.
Chad is a transplant, but she's lived next to Union Hill for 30 years and knows the area well, including the racial tension between its Black and white residents, many of whom have lived through Jim Crow. Schools in Buckingham County weren't fully integrated until 1970, 16 years after Brown versus Board of Education outlawed racial segregation. Chad also knew if the community wanted to stop the pipeline and compressor station, they would need to work together. hoping for common cause, Chad, who is white, began to reach out to local black churches. And that's how she met Pastor Paul Wilson, sitting in his car in the church lot just before Bible study.
And I tapped on the window and said, "Can I talk to you?" And he rolled down the window and I said, "Do you know about a pipeline and a compressor station?"
I'm thinking that Dominion knows everything. I'm ready to follow their lead, but we started punching some holes in that, in what Dominion was saying. And I prayed about it, and God spoke to me and simply said, if I follow through, if we follow through and be patient, that the Atlantic Coast Pipeline was not going to happen.
It was an important relationship, and it was important to meet in the church, because that's the safe place. That's the safe place for the black people who lived there. And so we began to have all of our meetings there after that.
We'll hear more from Pastor Paul a little later. In addition to concerns about pollution, residents here worried about the threat the proposed compressor station might present to the cemetery near the church. It weighed on John Laurie, whose farm is just up the road from Union Grove.
I was deeply concerned about the water and the air, and also the ecosystem, period. I used to drive down 56 and pray that it would not happen. I was so encouraged one night at our board of supervisors meeting when Pastor Paul gave them an example of David and Goliath. We were fighting a giant.
John protested at Dominion board meetings in Richmond and in Washington, D.C., and addressed the Governor's Advisory Council on Environmental Justice. But he considers prayer and his trust in God to be among his greatest contributions to the cause. It might stand to reason that a true believer who strictly follows the teachings of the Bible might have some misgivings about working with a group of yogis who believe there are many paths to God. But John and his wife, Ruby, felt no such way.
I admire their faith. And I'm sure they admire the faith that we have in our Lord and Savior. I was sort of skeptical at first because I didn't know anything about them. But once I got to know them, I felt comfortable.
There was no problem when we realized this project was harmful to humanity. There is one way to God. That's through Jesus Christ. That's stated in the Bible. This did not affect the different faith. This was strictly about survival and standing up for what is right. We even adopted the slogan, "We are all Union Hill." If Union Hill hurt, that means the rest of us hurt.
I talked about this with Swami Dayananda, a Hindu monk who was raised in Shinto, the major religion in Japan, where she was born. She spent most of her 40 years at Yogaville laser-focused on her own spiritual development, and admittedly wasn't that connected to the community surrounding the ashram. But she knew residents were skeptical of Yogaville when the community started going up in the late 70s and early 80s in the rural rolling foothills of the Blue Ridge Mountains. And that skepticism didn't vanish overnight.
During the time that we were peacefully protesting, when we had meetings with community members in Buckingham, and one resident said, "When Yogaville people wanted first to come in this area, you know, some of us protested. We said, we don't know who these people are. Yoga, Swami, Guru, could be a cult.
During my visit, I had some free time, and Swami Dayananda suggested a meditation at the Kailash site, where a shrine features a Hindu god and a stunning overlook of the Blue Ridge Mountains on the horizon. I arrived in the middle of the daily Hindu worship service in Sanskrit. Yogaville's main feature is its lotus shrine, built in 1986. Religious texts, photos, and various artifacts representing Judaism, Christianity, Sikhism, Hinduism, and other religions are featured behind glass displays in the sanctuary upstairs. A blue beam from the altar corresponding to each religion meets the others in the ceiling. Pastor Paul came here too, shortly after the Friends of Buckingham assembled.
I went to the Lotus Shrine, and when I went in the place, oh my God. It was like the Holy Spirit just came all over me. And I started trembling and shaking and crying. And it was such a holy place. And when I went in, I just went in under the power of prayer, under the authority of the Holy Spirit. And I went to the arch where Christianity, that arch that leads to heaven. I want to say that I need to make sure, I don't believe that there are all of these different paths to God. I only believe that there's only one true path. But I was in awe. I didn't expect that. I almost felt like when Malcolm X went to Mecca, his whole perspective changed. There are things that Martin Luther King experience that changed his whole perspective. And I think in everybody's walk in life, you have to get to that point where your perspective changes. And then you really know what you're about and what you're for.
Around the same time, Swami Dayananda, in her orange robe worn by Hindu monks, spoke to congregants at Pastor Paul's church.
He just invited me to speak at the pulpit. And I had an opportunity to speak about nonviolence and in this whole aspect of resisting the pipeline. And I had an opportunity to speak about Gandhiji, Martin Luther King Jr., you know, his civil rights movement and how related this is to what we are doing. It's upon us to do the same thing in the same way. And when I was speaking in the Baptist, you know, they are such an incredible people of faith. And when we're saying something, they, you know, how they say, Amen, Hallelujah.
At a conference, Pastor Paul introduced Swami Dayananda to fellow Baptist leaders.
He said, meet my sister, spiritual sister. And I just knew then that there was just no wall between us, that we were one in the spirit. And we found that common spirit through getting to know each other, facing this big obstacle that was coming our way. We believe in ourselves, our love for each other, for our family, our community, our environment. We are one.
The two communities remained united against the pipeline and compressor station. In 2016, Pastor Paul was one of around two dozen people arrested during an ACP-related protest and charged with trespassing. A judge sentenced him to a week of community service.
I choose to do mine at Yogaville. Stayed over there for a week, played Santa Claus, got to talk with people, ate basically vegetarian food for a week. You know, I'm a meat and potato guy, steak guy.
Dominion Energy was not persuaded by environmental justice concerns. In 2018, the Friends of Buckingham went to each home in the community and did their own unofficial census, a project led by Lakshmi Fjord, an anthropologist and visiting scholar at the University of Virginia.
So when it was understood that the Atlantic Coast Pipeline was building, hoped to build a compressor station in what I knew was a majority Black community. It was really part of my ministry as an interfaith minister in Intrapul Yoga to just say, okay, well then this is what I have to do. I have the skills, I have the zeal and the passion in most of the states of the United States, but particularly in former Confederate states. The census tract data for Black communities and Indigenous communities is very, very poor. Both of those populations of people have terrible records of their data being used against them. They don't open their door to census takers. Why would they? Let's start doing a house-by-house study to know how many people are living here, what race they identify with, how long have they lived there? How old are the buildings they live in? Where are the churches that they go to, the schools that they went to, and so forth? Let's get that information, and we need that in order to counter the siting of these facilities in these places. We need to use what few legal remedies we have for environmental justice. Our community needs to do it to protect itself.
Fjord found that more than 80% of the nearly 200 residents within 1 mile of the proposed compressor site were Black or people of color.
That became the foundation for the arguments we made in court.
That's Greg Bupert from the Southern Environmental Law Center. The group sued the state's Air Pollution Control Board on behalf of the Friends of Buckingham.
The board, the ultimate decider, hadn't really grappled with the evidence. And we used a Virginia statute that said the board had to consider the suitability of the site. Really, the first time that state regulators were forced to grapple with environmental justice for an air pollution permit. To me, it felt remarkable. Here's this remarkable story, a remarkable part of American history, the descendants of the formerly enslaved people who founded the community still live there, and Dominion was going to force this compressor station into this community. Communities like Union Hill are all over our country, and they're certainly all over the South and all over Virginia. And these communities are asked repeatedly to bear the disproportionate burden of energy infrastructure and all the pollution that comes along with that.
In 2019, the Southern Environmental Law Center joined others in challenging the pipeline's proposed crossing of the Appalachian Trail, saying it was illegal without Congress's approval since the landmark is part of the national park system. That narrow legal issue went all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court. Activists had also been working hard to lobby Virginia's congressional delegation. In those months before a final decision came down, Dominion sought that approval to cross the Appalachian Trail from Congress. They didn't get it.
The company was unsuccessful because of the grassroots efforts, because of groups like Friends of Buckingham, who spoke to their elected officials and explained their view on the project and made sure that elected officials in Virginia who would have to vote for this law were informed, and ultimately it never passed. And I certainly believe it helped Dominion see the writing on the wall that this, that its project was in deep trouble and it needed to get out of the Atlantic Coast Pipeline. And the big picture is there's really no way a project like that can be defeated without the deep involvement of the community.
The Supreme Court actually sided against the environmentalists, overturning a lower court decision. But a month later, Dominion canceled the whole project. The fight wasn't without its divisions. Pastor Paul used to preach at two churches about a mile apart in Union Hill, but he was forced out by one during the ACP fight. By his account, congregants at Union Hill Church thought he was standing in the way of progress that Dominion promised when the company announced $5 million to build a community center and improve emergency services. There were other issues before this, though, he said, and ACP was the breaking point. He fought the removal before ultimately resigning, and now is only preaching at Union Grove.
They threw me out. You see, in small churches, people don't want to go against their family members. Well, Grandma said, Uncle John said, they'll go along to get along. And then the Black community was divided, okay? Because that was people who would say, you can't slow, you can't stop Dominion. Listen, get out now and demand some money. Take the money.
2020 brought a victory for the Friends of Buckingham. But around the same time, they got news of a new challenge. A Canadian company had begun exploratory gold mining in northwestern Buckingham County, just miles from Union Hill. John and Ruby Laurie put a new sign in their yard, and someone put one up in front of Union Grove Church, too. Save our water, ban gold mining.
A couple miles as a crow flies from here. And that was a month before the ACP went down on its knees.
That's Heidi Divia-Bertu, the Friends of Buckingham secretary and record keeper and current director of the Virginia Community Rights Network, another environmental group. Some of the members overlap, but the network's approach is less traditional, instead focusing on the rights of nature.
We have the right and the responsibility to protect our air, our water, our land, our community, our economies from the toxic trespass that would come, that we know would come with metallic mining. Our ideal would be to have our rights-based ordinance passed, which would effectively stop that with a prove it first requirement, which essentially says, it's like Hippocrates' oath, you know, before getting a permit, prove that there's another mine of comparable scale that has caused no harm.
Activists say the mining of industrial metals can lead to pollution and that cyanide used in processing could pose a health risk. Hanuman observed one major difference between these potential threats to the environment in Buckingham County. It didn't take much convincing for people to balk at the gold mining. Hanuman, Chad, Heidi, and others have set up tables at a few community events to let people know about their concerns.
It felt so good to have a success with the ACP, so even though we were tired, I don't know, with the gold mine, I definitely feel more support. Anybody that we talk to in the community and beyond says, we don't want a gold mine. So, and we didn't have that with the Atlantic Coast Pipeline. We didn't have that kind of unanimity.
Sacred and Profane was produced for the Religion, Race, and Democracy Lab at the University of Virginia. This episode was made possible by a grant from the National Endowment for the Humanities. Today's show was reported by Molly Bourne. Our senior producer is Emily Gaddick.
Music in this episode came from Blue Dot Sessions. For more on our work, head to religionlab.virginia.edu or follow us on Twitter @TheReligionLab.